Well, greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live right here tonight on WWRB 3.185, and we're most certainly glad to have you in here on April the 1st. And we're going to get right into the message tonight, part two of the 72-hour entombment, true or false. Well, we're going to begin tonight. We want you to call a friend and a neighbor and tell them Pastor Buddy with the Shepherd's Call is on there. We got a great amount of groundbreaking information for you. We know that this is not the accepted, traditional, normal, everyday Judeo-Christian doctrine. And we have to cross swords with these traditions that are seem right. There is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. Now, the Bible tells us to beware of the Pharisees and beware of the scribes. Beware of tradition, for well you reject the commandments to keep your own tradition, the Messiah said. Now, we're going to realize here that in order for the Messiah, Yahweh Yeshua, Yahweh the Savior, Yeshua means Savior, Yahweh Yeshua, to be in the tomb for 72 hours, which is actually 3 days and 3 nights, as most people would wrongly assume that he said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. You see, that's exactly what he was talking about, that the Messiah's suffering would be for 3 days and 3 nights. It wouldn't be that he would be dead. Jonah wasn't dead. And so then, he uses in the heart of the earth. Jonah was in the heart or the belly of the fish. And the Messiah was in the heart of his suffering beginning on the night of the 13th. Now remember, by the 16th day, he was already up, proving it was a 72-hour in the heart of the earth as opposed to being dead and in the tomb, because we're going to give you the time period that he was in the tomb, and it wasn't 3 days and 3 nights buried. He wasn't there. Now, if he was buried for 72 days, or 72 hours, which makes 3 days, there would have to be a necessity of two Sabbaths. Now, we're going to prove that to you. In other words, if let's take the Baptist way of looking at things, or the Catholic, which would be better because they cover everybody, because they're the one that instigated this tradition, and actually this deceitful lie. It's impossible. Now let me tell you something here, folks. It's impossible for you to be buried on a Friday. That's why they call it Good Friday, when the Messiah died. And then he was up on Sunday morning, or the first day of the week. It's impossible. That's not 3 days and 3 nights. And so then, their doctrine doesn't fit the 72-hour schedule. But most people that you meet believe he was buried for 3 days and 3 nights. And he was. Let's go back to the Seventh-day Adventist. If he died on Friday and got up on the Saturday Sabbath, at the end of the Saturday Sabbath, then that's even less time. You see what I mean? So then, let's take the other option here and see what that will do. Well, we know that the 15th was a high Sabbath. Now, being high Sabbath means it was a festival. That's the only reason it was high. Otherwise, it was just a weekly Sabbath, the 15th. So the correct Sabbath of the Hebrews was one, that's new moon. Then the 8th day was the Sabbath. The 15th day was the Sabbath, no exceptions to that. And the 22nd day was the Sabbath, and the 29th day. And that's the lunar revolutions of time, and the Messiah went into the tomb at the end of the 14th day. Remember now, he was crucified. Mark clearly tells us this, that he was killed on preparation day in Mark 15 and verse 42. Well, if he was killed on the preparation day or the Passover day, that's always on the 14th and no exception. It wasn't the second Saturday of the month. It wasn't the second, first day of the month. It was on the 14th day of the month, which was, it wasn't a Sabbath, it was a work day. And so you can see that it wasn't solar, 1 through 7, 7 through 14. It wasn't solar, ladies and gentlemen. But all of these variant doctrines of mathematical deception without numerically giving it proper consideration and examining it in the light of the Scriptures. If he died on the 14th day, which he did, he literally died on the 14th day at 3 o'clock. We know exactly when he died. He died in the ninth hour. Now, if he died in the ninth hour at 3 o'clock, they let him hang there until around 4 or 5 o'clock. Because when the end of the evening, which would have been the end of the 14th day, they had to get the sacrifices down off the tree. In other words, the crucifixions. Christ himself then the sacrifice. He had to come down because it was a curse to leave any man hanging on a tree after sundown. Now, that's a strange law, but Yahweh invoked that law back in the mode of Moses, in the days of Moses, in Exodus and Leviticus. He put that in the plan. So then, this would coincide with the teaching of the Bible to stay in sync with the hand fitting the glove, or the glove fitting the hand. In this case, the Word is forever settled and nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. Now, Mark mentions the day that the Messiah's death as the preparation day, as I said, in 1542. Now, let me read to you. And now when even was come, even. Now, remember those two evens. Or evenings. They had to have him down by the first evening and in the grave by the second evening. Between the evenings is when they were to get him down. So at 6 o'clock would be the end of the first evening, and they had to put him in the tomb and seal him. And listen what Mark says, and now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. The day before the Sabbath. Now how in the world are you going to get Saturday as a Sabbath, as the lion Seventh-day Adventist try to go along with the Gregorian Babylonian confusion set up by the Catholic Church and joined then by the Jews who said the seventh day is on Saturday. Glory to God. No exceptions. Well, the Catholics, they observe Sunday worship. Neither one of these are Sabbaths. Had it been, then the Sabbath sequence of Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 1 and 2, would be out of sequence. You have to work 6 days after a Sabbath. Well, the 15th was the Sabbath according to Luke 15:42. And if you go 7 days, that passes Sunday up, and it certainly passes Saturday up, in the count. I don't care if it was a Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. It just don't jive with the teachings that the church erroneously has brought out. Mark describes this word as preparation before the Sabbath. That's the 14th. The 15th day was always a Sabbath, and it was always on a full moon, lunar. A full moon. You should surely understand that the Sabbath mentioned would be the weekly Sabbath. The preparation here is the day before the Sabbath. Now, if he failed to make his point clear, which is on Thursday, secondly, we must discover the origin and the meaning of the term preparation when found in relationship to the word Sabbath. We find an interesting verse in light of the term in the book of Exodus 16 as Yahweh gives instructions on the children of Israel where to do or what to do with the manna given to them on the sixth day of the week, which is the day before the Sabbath. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they shall bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So the sixth day was actually the preparation. That's why it's called preparation day. They prepared for the coming Sabbath, and they would have their food already in reserve for the Sabbath day. And therefore they wouldn't have to violate the Sabbath by minding worldly, carnal things, like having to feed the body. So then, that's why it's called preparation. Another thing is that they prepped the lambs. They always killed the lambs on the 14th day of the Mosaical Covenant in Leviticus chapter 23. You can go there and read it, or you can go to Exodus chapter 12. Just a few chapters from where I'm reading here in the book of Exodus chapter 16, verse 5. You shall gather it twice, gather up. That means gathering. Now, that which is gathered is the sacrifice of the lamb. In this case, in their day, it was the bread, the manna. But the same thing, a rule applies with the Passover. On the 14th day, it will be preparation day. And the Bible said, and the preparation day dawned on in John 13, where he was 2 days before the Passover, that they were washing feet and breaking bread or taking the Lord's Supper, which everybody wants to say that was the Passover. And that's a lie. That was preparation. That was they washed feet. They got together and ate the last meal of leavened bread before the dawning of the 14th day. Remember, he went out and he was arrested in the early morning hours of the 14th day. As the 13th day had ended at sundown when they were at the meeting, and by the time they got out, the Bible said it was night. In other words, the 13th day had already passed, but they begin their service on the 13th day when they come together to wash their feet. The Messiah washed their feet, and they ate the bread, and they took the sop. And it's preparation. The tradition of the preparation meal started in the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, confirmed in the 19th chapter as Lot fed them unleavened bread You go back over here to Genesis 18, and Abraham washed their feet. That had to be preparation. They must have arrived that evening on the 13th, back in Genesis chapter 18. It's marvelous. Therefore, Abraham washed their feet, and he prepared the meal for them to eat, meaning that it had to be on the 14th day when the lamb traditionally was killed. Well, that's the day that Yahweh, a theophany, if you will, had visited Abraham in Genesis 19 or 18, and the two angels visited Lot in 19, and they shared unleavened bread. You only eat unleavened bread once a year. Not like the Church of Christ. They come together and break bread and call it the Passover or the Lord's Supper. That's just ludicrous. There's no truth in that. When we read in Mark 16:1, now we're going to move over to 16:1 in Mark. When the Sabbath was passed, that means it had ended. Mary Magdalene, the mother of James, Salome, they brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Now, the question would be, what Sabbath was passed? Was it Saturday, like we're told by the traditional Judeo-Christian church? I don't think so. Well, it certainly couldn't have been on the 15th, because that's when he was in the tomb. But when they came, when the Sabbath was passed, they found the stone rolled away, because they were going to embalm him. But they found the stone rolled away, and the body had disappeared. It was gone. And two angels sat in at the end of the stone, guarding the tomb. Those garments must have been awful precious that he wore. But it was his burial cloth. He was wrapped in a burial cloth. And it was laying there, but there was nobody in the burial cloth, because the Messiah had already risen by the first day of the week. Now, the first day of the week would have been the next day after the 15th. So that would have been the 16th day, and that just happens to be the wave offering day. The day that the grain, the bread, the manna, the body had been sacrificed. And now we have the new spiritual order of Melchizedek. We no longer have to go out in the desert and gather up manna for 6 days and double a double portion on the sixth day, as it's indicated here in Exodus chapter 16, verse 5. We don't have to do that anymore. We certainly can agree that the Messiah was alive. We find in Acts 10:41. Now remember, he was seen 40 days after his resurrection. Remember, he's up when Mary and the others, Mary Magdalene and the mother of James and Salome, brought the sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. So the resurrection would have already happened. Remember, it was early on the first day of the week, at the dawning of the first day of the week. Now remember, in the Hebrew count, the Sabbath would have ended at dark at the end of the 15th day. So somewhere between the end of the 15th day. Now, he didn't get up in the Sabbath. He got up after the Sabbath, proving that he went into his rest and rested only one day and one night to prove that the 12 hours of the day and the 12 hours of the night, and 24 is symbolic of the 24 elders and a double witnesses of the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes that is recorded in the book of Revelation chapter 21. 12 gates to the city with 12 names of the apostles with the 12 tribes represented. See, it's all symbolic. But it had significant spiritual meaning. And he wanted you to know that he wasn't going to be dead for 3 days, but he would be in the heart of the earth. That's enigmatic expression, expressing that he would have 72 hours of literal hell to go through with. But it ended at 3 o'clock on the 14th day. And his end of that cycle was somewhere after the 15th day. Now remember, it started the night before on the 13th. When he was arrested and taken to the jail, interrogated, kept up all night. And at 9 o'clock, he was in the Sanhedrin court, being found guilty of insurrection, teaching rebellion against the law of Moses, is what the charge was. Or so they assumed. But he got up on the end of the Sabbath, which is the 15th day, which would have been at between the two evenings, the last evening, on the 15th day, which is the next day after he went in the grave. He went in the night before, at the beginning of the 15th day, and at the end of the 15th day, somewhere in the beginning of the 16th day, he arose. Somewhere in the night of the 16th. Because early in the morning of the 16th, which is the first day of the week, it's the first work day after the Sabbath. Now, Saturday couldn't have been the Sabbath. Sunday couldn't have been the Sabbath. Proving to you that the Christian theology of Saturday and or Sunday, either one, that it's erroneous and false doctrine. You better get away from it. You better get back to the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, the first day of the week, which was early in the morning, the first day of the week, according to Mark 16, we find that the body was missing when they came at dawn of the 16th day. Again, reckoning that the Hebrew day started the night before, at dark. Between the two evenings, at the last evening, and he went into the tomb, like I say, he was taken down somewhere around 6 o'clock on the 14th day. And they wrapped his body, because, you see, between 6 o'clock and the 8 o'clock hour, which is about where the final darkness comes, it gave Joseph of Arimathea, he went and made a special petition to Pilate to beg the body of the Messiah so that he could put it in his own sepulchre. That was Joseph of Arimathea. That was his sepulchre. Joseph of Arimathea. And so he laid him in his own sepulchre. No man had ever been laid in it, because that sepulchre was actually for Joseph. Now we find in the journeys of the Messiah before he was in the priesthood, we find that from the age of 16 and the missing years of the Messiah, we find that Joseph Arimathea was his cousin. His uncle, really. And that he traveled with him extensively into Great Britain and the sea routes of the Mediterranean as he crossed it into Great Britain. And the legend is there, legendary, of the travels of the Messiah abroad. And nobody knows about the missing years of the Messiah. But he did have some missing years, and he wasn't just lollygagging around. He was about his father's business, and we know that Joseph of Arimathea, he really loved the Messiah. Now he begged the body, got it and had it in the tomb and sealed up before nightfall of the 14th. That would have begun the 15th day. And by somewhere after the 15th day, because after the Sabbath, he would have arisen sometime during the early morning hours of the 16th day. Now, isn't it wonderful that by the time in Luke or Mark 16, that when the Sabbath was passed, that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, and actually the mother of the Messiah, brought the sweet spices that they might come and anoint him? That Sabbath was passed. But what Sabbath was that? What was the 15th day Sabbath? Not Saturday, not Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, they're trying to tell us that it was 3 days later after that he was entombed on the 15th day. Well, that would have been somewhere around the 18th or 19th day. And that certainly wouldn't be a Sabbath, because you have to work 6 days before you can keep one. And if a Sabbath of the 15th was there, then the next Sabbath wouldn't be until the 22nd day. And on the 16th day, the first day of the week, work day, after the Sabbath of the 15th, he was up as the wave offering required for the Messiah. He was the living grain, not the chef of grain that the priest weighed, the high priest weighed. Here is the high priest himself forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's alive forevermore. He is our wave offering. He stood in the gap. He made up the hedge. He made up the difference. He did what we couldn't do. And therein is the marvelous story of the account. Now let's go to Luke. If you look at Luke's chronology of the events that took place during this specific week, he tells us in Luke 23, verse 50 and 52, that a man named Joseph of the city of Arimathea begged for the body of the Messiah, and he managed to obtain our Messiah's body, and then he took it down. He wrapped it in linen, laid it in a sepulcher that was hewed in stone, wherein never had a man lain. And that's in Luke 23, verse 53, that I just quoted you a while ago. So then, we've got the events, and we've got the timelines, and everything is lining up as the first day of the week followed right after the 15th day of the Sabbath. The 15th day. So, if the Sabbath was on the 15th, you count back, and the Sabbath would have been on the 8th day. If you count forward to another Sabbath after the 15th, that's the 22nd day. If you count from the 22nd day, six more working days, brings you to the 29th day. If you keep the first day of the new moon as is ordered, in Ezekiel chapter 36, you've got the formula. Or 46, 1 and 2. You've got the formula. On the new moon, you open the gates. The gates open for the Messiah. After he rose from the dead, he became the wave offering of the first day of the week on the wave offering after the 15th day of the Sabbath. So, numerically, you can go back and prove that if he died on the 15th, or was entombed on the 15th, and that was the Sabbath, and he was up on the first day of the week, according to Mark 16, then we can trace the other Sabbaths, and it's easy to prove. 1, 8, 15, 22, and 29. Again, it is like a glove fitting the hand, and nothing is to be denied if you will believe the truth. What about the spices? Now, let me tell you a little bit about the spices. Now, I've already, I think, given you sufficient evidence of Mark and Luke that there was a 14th, 15th, and 16th sequence of events involved in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah. Now, there's an objection involving the spices brought by certain women. It is almost always given by those holding to the 72-hour entombment. His body was laying, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment of Luke 23:55-56. Now, if you simply read the text, it has the women beholding the laying of the body on the 14th. They beheld it. It was laying as Joseph laid his body. Nobody else didn't care about him. All the disciples fled for their life. But it was the women who felt they weren't certainly going to crucify a woman because this was a man's job. And so they weren't afraid to be seen. And Joseph of Arimathea, he begged for the body, and he took it down, but he wasn't one of the disciples because all the disciples had already fled. That's the Elohim. My Elohim, where or why have you forsaken me? They all forsook him. Here's Joseph of Arimathea. He laid him in the tomb right before the beginning of the Sabbath on the 15th day. And Luke, again, he mentions that the Sabbath day of verse 56 is the 15th day. So then, we see that there is not a Sabbath directly, if you will actually read and if you will actually know and believe that the Bible is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and they're safe. Well, if they are safe, we know that Yahweh is a strong tower and the righteous do run into the truth. That's what it means. Get the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Now, Luke mentions that upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher. It teaches us that it was a preparation day of the Sabbath, upon the first day of the week. The first day sequence, once again, we should note that both Mark and Luke agree that the visit to the tomb took place very early in the morning upon the first day of the week. That's the first work day, ladies and gentlemen. And you would have to work six more working days to keep a Sabbath because the Sabbaths are always regulated to work 6 days and keep a Sabbath. Work 6 days and keep a Sabbath. Work 6 days and keep a Sabbath. So if the Sabbath's on the 15th day, the next Sabbath wouldn't have been until the 22nd day, and that rules out Saturday and Sunday as being the Sabbath day. I know it's the Sabbath day for the Christians, the Judeo-Christian. Saturday is the Sabbath for the Messianic Jews or the Jews, those that favor the seventh day of the Gregorian calendar. The Gregorian calendar is false, misleading. No wonder that the Bible said it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. You can clearly see that Nicodemus most likely bought 100 pound of myrrh and aloe, as the Messiah was probably held in high esteem by him. Now, we know that it was Nicodemus that bought the 100-pound mixture. The fact remains that Nicodemus was apparently able to obtain these spices on short notice. Not only do we have this evidence showing the burial spices that did not take a great amount of time to obtain or prepare, but we should also note that Ralph Woodrow states in his book on the same subject, and I'm going to quote, "There is no reason to assume that a whole day was required to prepare spices. In the Jewish practice, burial followed soon after death. usually the same day. Because we read when Ananias died, they wound him up and carried him out and buried him. The whole procedure being completed within 3 hours, according to Acts chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Lazarus buried the same day he died. And when the Messiah arrived, he had been dead and in the tomb 4 days already. 4 days. That's John 11, 17 through 39. Nicodemus provided a considerable quantity of spices, seemingly in a short time, when he hurriedly helped prepare the body of the Messiah for burial, which is recorded in John 19, 39 through 40. Because burials followed soon after death, it's evident it did not take long for them to prepare the spices. The body was wrapped, but it couldn't, the embalming with the spices couldn't have happened until after the Sabbath. Now this is preparation day, again proving that 14, 15, and 16 is your days. Now that don't make 72 hours. Because he wasn't impaled till 12 o'clock. So that itself, he wasn't in the ground till the 15th. And by the 16th, he was already up. How could it be 72 hours, ladies and gentlemen? I beg you, wake up. Get in the truth. Hear the word of Yahweh. Know that the word of Yahweh is a strong tower. It is a fact. That John, now we're getting over to John, let me give you the third witness here as I wrap this up here. The fact that John first calls this day the Sabbath day, he twice argues for this day being the regular weekly Sabbath, the 15th. This day is then described as being a high day as well. In other words, a festival. That's why they call it a high Sabbath day. It's recorded in Leviticus chapter 23 and in Exodus chapter 12. Again, the sequence is recorded in Ezekiel chapter 46, 1 and 2. The chart, the time chart. And everything fits like a hand in a glove. Isaiah 66, verse 22, 23 and 24, again confirms Ezekiel chapter 46, 1 and 2. And Leviticus chapter 23 and Exodus chapter 12. Can't you see what the passage plainly says? John mentions this preparation day once again when he says, "And they laid Yahweh Yeshua, there laid they, Yahweh Shua, in the tomb on preparation day, at the end of the of preparation day, right before the weekly 15th day Sabbath. Because, there they laid him, because it was the Jews' preparation day. For the scepter was nigh at hand." In other words, it was very close to the place of the skull. This was the day of preparing for the previously mentioned Sabbath, which was the weekly Sabbath that was a high day because it was on the festival of Passover on the 15th. And always, with no exception, the Passover was the 14th day, preparation day, and the 15th was always a high Sabbath day or a regular weekly Sabbath if you use the lunar, and that's what the Messiah was using. Oh, man. Praise Yahweh. I hope and trust you can see this. I just pray for your understanding. I marvel at how people are so easily persuaded with tradition. Well, now the Bible said he was in the grave for 3 nights and 3 days. It don't say that. Again, it don't say that. It does not say that he would be in there 3 days and 3 nights. It says that
the Messiah would be in his passion of the heart of the earth, not in the tomb or the grave for 3 days. He'd be in the heart of the earth. Well, he was. The heart means in central Jerusalem. When his passion began on the 13th day and really picked up in the 14th day when they killed him at 3 o'clock. At 9 o'clock they brought him to trial in the Sanhedrin. And between 9 and 12 they convicted him of treason to tear the temple down. That was the witness, the false witness. Keep a coming, man. And so it was a 3-hour trial from 9 to 12. And it was a 3-hour trial from 12 when he was impaled on the torture stake until he gave up the ghost or the ruach. For all of you Hebrew people that wants to speak Hebrew, it was the ruach. And the ruach was nobody but Yahweh the Spirit in the body of flesh, entombed in the flesh body. But when that flesh body died, and it did, it ceased to breathe. But the Spirit can't be killed. There it went to preach to the souls that were disobedient in the days of Noah, according to 1 Peter 3:18 through 20. And according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he that ascended, in other words, when he died, he ascended, but he first descended into the heart of the earth, and there he preached to the souls that was disobedient. So he preached on that rest day, the Sabbath day. He went to paradise. And he preached to everyone in paradise that he could become the God not only of the living, but the dead, those that were in prison, according to Peter, again, chapter 3, 1 Peter 3. Verses 18 through 20. Oh, man, it fits like a glove, ladies and gentlemen. Now, preparation. What about preparation? It was the day of preparation of the Passover, the 14th day. Scholars reason that John 19:14 is to be understood as meaning that it was the sixth day of the Passover. That is the preparation day that happened during Passover week. Well, let's find out. John mentions that it was definitely on the first day of the week when Mary Magdalene approached the sepulcher. Remember, it was early at the dawning of the 16th day. Remember, the day started the night before. Now, she was there at dawn, but the 16th day started the night before. So sometime between the end of the 15th day and the beginning of the 16th day, the Messiah arose. Oh, my. And I really appreciate the gospel. It gives you the pinpoint days, but when the first... Now, but first of all, I should point out that all the writers who spoke of the day of the resurrection in the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd centuries A.D., not a single writer records a Sabbath resurrection. So he didn't get up on the Sabbath. He went through the whole Sabbath and he didn't rise till the Sabbath was ended. Now remember, he didn't go in the tomb until the 14th day had ended. And somewhere between the two evenings, he was taken down at 6 o'clock. He died at 3, took down 3 hours later. They want to make sure he's dead. They come to break his bones to make sure he's going to die, and he was fully dead. They found he was fully dead. They took him down. Joseph begged his body and laid him in his own tomb, and early at dawn of the next day, the 16th day, the dawning of the first day of the week, the sisters came and found the grave or the tomb empty. Now, how do you get 72 hours in that deal? It just don't compute. So then, I hope and trust that you're seeing this, and I keep reiterating it because I want to drive the point home. I want to make you believe that there's nothing heretical about what I'm teaching you. This is not hearsay doctrine. Notice. Now, around the first century, there was a group known by the name of Nazarenes. And they existed in the first century. And their existence can be dated by name up to the 4th century A.D. And it's noted that these Nazarenes most likely represent the original practice of believers in the Messiah. Dr. Samuel Lee Brocati refers us to the historical Ephidius to show that although there was some people degrading the Nazarenes for their beliefs, but there was nothing heretical about them. The Nazarenes do not differ in any essential thing from them or from the Hebrew customs, since they practice the customs and doctrines prescribed by the Hebrew law, except that they believe in the risen Messiah. They believe in the resurrection of the dead and that the universe was created by Yahweh. They preach that Yahweh is one and that His body of flesh was called the Son. They are very learned in the Hebrew language. They read the law. Therefore, they differ both from the Jews and from the Christians, and from the former because they believe in the Messiah, from the true Christians because they fulfill it now that the Jewish or the Hebrew rituals as the circumcision of the Sabbath and other things that they call. So then they attempted to discredit the Nazarenes for their teaching. Because not even a hint in this group taught a Sabbath resurrection. He was not resurrected on Saturday or Sunday, ladies and gentlemen. It just ain't there. It seems like that there were some people back in the early centuries who, although recognizing the Sabbath as a holy day, also recognized the first day of the week as the day of the resurrection. They never once came with a rebuttal that the Messiah did not resurrect on the first day of the week, proving that He did get up after the Sabbath day on the 15th. Remember, He went in the night before at the dawning of the Sabbath. He was in the tomb. And He stayed there all night. And then after the Sabbath had ended, the 15th day, He couldn't get up in the Sabbath. He was at rest. But He got up sometime after the Sabbath had ended, the evening before the dawning of the first day of the week, where Mary and the sisters came to embalm Him, and they found nothing but empty grave and two angels sitting there to tell them, "He's not here! He's not here. He's not here on Saturday. He's not here on Sunday. He's not here on the first day of the week. He's not here on the second day of the week or the third day. But He is risen." Now, in the visit to the tomb in Matthew, it was at the end of the Sabbath. Why then do all the other gospels recording the same account place the visit on the first day of the week? Well, Matthew said it was the end of the Sabbath. That's all he said, the end of the Sabbath. Well, that would have begun the beginning of the 16th day because the Sabbath was on the 15th. Luke 24:1 teaches us that the spices were brought early in the morning of the first day of the week. Why would they bring spices if they had visited the previous evening and had been told that the Messiah was not there, or has it risen, as it's recorded in Matthew chapter 28, verse 6. The angel said, he's not here. And it was early on the morning of the first day of the week. So all of the four Gospels harmonize here. There's nothing out of order in the sequence. It's all there according to the Bible. Isn't it wonderful, ladies and gentlemen, that the truth is forever settled and nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away? Well, ladies and gentlemen, my time is coming gone on part two of the 72 hours. Was the Messiah in the grave or the tomb for 72 hours? And the answer is a resounding no. We give you the timeline. Now you take it up with the Father. And you're listening to Shepherd's Calling, Pastor Buddy here tonight, live, here on WWRB 3.185, Clear Channel, around the world. And I hope and trust that you've enjoyed our message here tonight, part two of the 72-hour. I'll do part three Friday night. Now, this is Wednesday night, April the 1st. But I'll do part three on April the 3rd, if you will, on Friday night at 9:30 p.m. And so I hope you join us for the final part of the 72 hours that we're teaching on here live on WWRB. Now, if you'd like to write me, you can simply do so by writing Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you would like to call me, you can do so by calling area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you would like to visit our new website, still under construction, brand new, you could visit us by simply going to www.oneyahweh.com, all lowercase letters, oneyahweh.com. That'll take you to our website, and there is many articles in relationship to what we're teaching. And there's many hours of messages live, messages that we have done on radio over the years, starting in 201. We go back to 201, and we have messages posted about through 208. 8 years, 7 years actually, of messages, and we hope that you enjoy it. We'll be putting later messages up as we go along. Also, you can tune in to Pastor Buddy every Monday night on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel at 9 o'clock. You can hear me on Wednesday night at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, or you can hear me on Friday night, and I hope and trust that you can get us all three nights. You can hear us at 9:30 on Friday night, and I'll see you this coming Friday night with part three of the 72-hour experience. Praise Yahweh. I hope and trust that this message has been a blessing to you. And if it has, you can write me, because I love you. And I appreciate you. And I want you to know the truth, as hard as it is on our traditions. Because heaven is higher than the earth. And so is heaven higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, saith Yahweh. But people have brought tradition, and this tradition will take you down to hell. It's very important you get the timeline. The greatest thing that I've taught tonight to prove to you that the Sabbath was on the 15th of the month. And there's no exceptions. 1, 8, 15, 22, and 29. It's a lunar calendar, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I better get off here now. I appreciate you. I love you very much. And I'll see you Friday night live on WWRB 3.185. Yahweh bless you.